the Falcons on paper are the best offense in the NFC.
I don't like that now everyone thinks we're really good. If we sign Kirk, that means we're going all in. The drafting of Michael Penix goes the opposite way. This move makes sense if the Atlanta Falcons front office had Penix number two on their big board.
Welcome back to another episode of Caps Off Podcast, presented by Better. I'm here with Nick Ercolano. Almost fucked it up again.
Almost fucked it up again.
I think in your phone, I don't have the R. That's. I think in my contacts, okay. I don't have the R. It's just the C.
Okay. Well, so I'm officially taking out Jack from the contact.
It can just be Perotti.
You're just Perotti.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I told you. That's what everyone calls me. It's just Perotti.
I'm calling you Poor Purdy.
Poor Purdy. Well, I am like a poor man's Purdy.
Right.
To be fair. Yeah. Yeah. No, dude, I had to stop like going on Twitter all the time.
You're the Purdy guy now.
Dude, sure. It's bad. I saw a tweet today. It was like someone was like, it's like, you know, you've made it on this app when like someone doesn't even call you by their name. It's like, oh, like that's the Purdy guy. That's like the, you know, the mentally ill girl, like shit like that.
So I started realizing that. And then I saw you tweet about that tweet today. And I was like, yeah, that's locked in for life now.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the Purdy guy now.
You're shot. Yeah.
But that's fine. I'm okay with
being. When he gets replaced in like week 7 of this year, you're cooked.
Okay, I'm still gonna be the Brock guy though. That's the thing. If Brock gets replaced and he let's say he looks awful, like really really bad, he's still, you know, Super Bowl quarterback. Not a lot of quarterbacks.
Fact. And you're gonna you're gonna follow him to his next destination.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, yeah. If he goes to Seahawks, would be tough. Let's say he goes to like the Jaguars, dude, Duval.
The whole time, like, you're just gonna be like, you gotta put Purdy in.
Dude, are you guys not putting Brock in? Yeah. Like, you see what he did that one year in 2023?
You're gonna be a problem for a long time.
Yeah, it's gonna be an issue. I was a Mitch guy for a while, too. I told you that off
camera. That adds up.
Yeah, like, I feel like I'm just gonna be the mediocre. Actually, no, mediocre is crazy because Brock's elite, but yeah.
Brock's way better than Mitch ever was.
Oh my God.
Brock's like actually genuinely a good quarterback. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No one.
I don't think there's a real argument about that. I think people just get pissed off because he's had his success is equal to like an unbelievable quarterback.
Yes.
Where I don't know that equates, but like there's no chance you look at Brock Purdy and you're like, he's bad.
Dude, there's so many people that say that though.
Yeah. And, you know,
I think
morons.
It's just, they're just like, they're angry.
It's like the in and out thing, dude.
Dude,
you want to be miserable to be miserable. Like, you could like something more than In-N-Out, but like you don't hate In-N-Out. It's good.
It's a good fucking burger.
Yeah.
You know what people always say with In-N-Out though? It's like, oh, the fries. That's the weapons for Brock. Is the In-N-Out fries is the weapon. They're like, oh, the fries are trash.
I like their fries.
I think
they're
great.
I got no issue with their fries.
You ever watch them make the fries in the back?
No.
Dude, they literally get a potato.
It's not that deep for me.
No, but they get a potato, a full ass potato. They put it into the thing. And there, out comes the fries.
Homemade
the
ass
fry.
Fries.
It's the fresh.
That's
fries
like San Fran. Homemade ass weapons.
Dude, homemade ass.
Brock Purdy in and out.
Mm-hmm. It's a good fit. It's a good fit.
We didn't even need that first intro, brother. We are rolling.
Fuck that.
Right
we're
now.
Cooking now. We're cooking. I'm like half this big boy sales. The tall boy sales is also crazy.
Didn't even know those existed.
Yeah, I didn't either until I came here.
Threw me off my game a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see, how many milligrams of caffeine?
270. It was the first thing I checked.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I drink a lot of caffeine, but I try to stay away from like the 300 milligram levels because
it's not 300.
That's a great
270.
Point.
270.
I'm gonna need one now.
We have the regular size ones, but I'm gonna be honest. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, I didn't go to sleep till like 2:30 last night. I was just watching a stupid fucking movie, and so I woke up early. It was it's actually not a stupid movie. It's a sick movie with Denzel Washington. I forget what it was called. Him trying to solve a cold case murder. Mm. It was dope. I don't know what it was called, but it was cool as shit.
Inside Man?
No. I don't know. It was sick. It was sick, though. Anyway, so Nick, my boy here, he's the founder of BDGE, Big Dogs Gotta Eat. How long you guys been around now? You've been doing this for a while.
I guess if I looked at it from like a more of like a business perspective,
yeah.
I guess I'd count it from like when we got our first office space and everyone was really working together. So we'd be going on like 2.5-3 years, but I started making YouTube videos probably in like 2014.
Yeah, it's mostly like fantasy football focused and everything.
Yep. So and 10-ish years.
I mean, I feel like everyone that had TikTok in like 21 was it, would probably have seen the videos that like help you guys like get huge too, right?
What are they called? Yeah.
Yeah, Guess Ike's Lunch.
That was peak BDG.
Yeah. That shit was
the fall
crazy.
Off has been crazy.
Yeah, you guys really fell off, bro. It's actually nuts. Like, I just, you know, it was Lumberland, and then it was Guess Ike's Lunch, and then it was Caps Off.
Now we're all back.
No, dude, you guys have been back. Like,
I wanted to say something about Lumberland because
Aren't Lumberland still a company?
So they're still a company because they were a product company before they became a media company. They're the Batmugs, right? They made the Batmugs. Yeah. Okay, so they let go of their whole media team. But
that's
then,
what it was. Yeah.
But then they stopped for a while because they got so many hate comments afterwards. And then they started posting all like old content of the entire old team.
Dude, that's so smart.
And Lumberland did that, and they also turned off all comments on the video, so like people couldn't say anything.
That's fucking crazy.
I'm like, that's an insane move. You know?
That's so weird.
Yeah. So yeah, everything about all the sports media on TikTok is just weird.
It's just a bunch of bullshit.
It's like, all just nonsense. You know, at all times.
No, but tell them like what everyone. I'm sure they kind of have seen you guys before, but if they don't, like. What BDG is, what do you guys do, all that bullshit.
Yeah, sure. So when I first started, I started making YouTube content, long form, about fantasy football. I was just kind of enamored with it when I was younger. I wanted to teach people how to get better at it. So I started making videos.
So you were a dog, a big dog.
I was not. When I look back at what I used to make, no. Like, I probably helped more people lose their leagues than I did win, but you got to start somewhere,
right?
Were
you big on Calvin Ridley last year?
I liked Calf. Yeah.
So did I. Fucked me.
I had the emotional attachment from him being Atlanta. Oh, and then I'm telling you, the Players Tribune article really fucking threw me off.
Yeah, you're saying that.
Did you read that?
I did read
that. It was pretty emotional. I was like, he's back, baby.
Yeah, he's so bad.
Turns out he wasn't
back.
He was
not back.
Yeah. Anyway. The Titans think he's back. But regardless, yeah, I started making content. And then, you know, I did that. And I did it consistently for like a very, very long time. But I was working in the marketing field for a while. And I was doing the content stuff on the side for probably like 3 or 4 years, and eventually started to monetize a little bit to the point where I felt like I had momentum enough to leave the job and take like some of the marketing stuff I learned to freelance and make money that way on the side. So it could be like a combination of both. And then I ended up going full time with content like the first year I think I had left my corporate job.
That must have been scary. Like.
It really wasn't that scary because I had enough momentum built up. Like I saw the growth year over year over year, and I saw
you weren't going to leave it early and just like
No. Yeah. I actually tweeted something about this today where someone was like, you know, how do you get out of your head when it comes to like the financials of going after content? I'm like, I would never advise somebody to leave their job to pursue content full time unless you had an audience already, unless you had financial coming in, like unless you had some sort of momentum.
You can't just like do it cold turkey and hopefully.
No, it's not like starting a business where it's like, all right, I'm just gonna start tomorrow and hopefully it goes well. It's like, no, like I did it for 4 or 5 years before I felt even comfortable that I had momentum even, and I was doing the freelance stuff on the side to make money. Like worst case scenario, I was always like, all right, I'll go back in marketing if this shit doesn't work out. Yeah. So it wasn't that scary to me because I felt like I had enough momentum going into it. But things started just going well. And, you know, throughout the years, we started adding people onto the team. And I always thought like the documentation process of it was really important for us.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of vlog content and a lot of like behind the scenes of the business stuff. Cause I feel like that's, I don't know, over the next, you know, 5-10 years, I think a lot of like awesome businesses are going to be built mainly on the back of media. I feel like if you're not doing content, you're not really getting out there. I think media product, but I think the ones that really will stand out are the ones that really document the process of building up everything. So I've always felt really strongly about that. And it was something I took really seriously. So we do behind the scenes for our business. We do fantasy football content. Now we've expanded into a bunch of like trivia stuff that's gotten really popular.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
We stayed really niche within NFL, but just kept expanding as like NFL itself has expanded and become like this own like lifestyle of its whole, of itself. It's like
it's get the year round 24/7,
right? And we do dynasty fantasy football now, which encapsulates like a good 4 to 5 months of the off season. So people always ask us, like, are you gonna do other sports? And I'm like, We ain't done with NFL yet.
Yeah,
we're just getting started.
There's so many different like jars you can go into.
Right. So so that's kind of been the path. And right now we just, you know, we have a small team that is really passionate about what we're doing, and we're just really making content day in and day out.
Every, you got a good ass group of people there, dude. Like I mean, obviously met all of them like a couple times. Like just good fucking people too. Like,
yeah,
and work their asses off, funny ass dudes. Like
they're all just really, really, really into it. And you know, when
that's the biggest part.
Yeah, when you're trying to build something, it's like it's so important to surround yourself with people that, you know, not just that you like as people, but like have the same traits that you'd want in somebody that you're working with. Because it's fun to work with people that are fun, but it's also like, look at any professional sports team. It's a lot more fun when you're winning, and you win by being surrounded with talented people. You know, so you know, bringing in people that have crazy work ethic or fun, creative ideas. Like, maybe we won't get along outside of work. I'm cool with that. But if you're talented as fuck, I'll have more fun working with you.
Yeah, we're gonna have a blast working together. Like, right. We don't like, have to be boys outside people. Of work. Right. Like, yeah.
You just respect people that, like, get shit done, you know?
And yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, if you take accountability and you get shit done, I'm like, you're cool on my books.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. All right, so Nick here is a huge, you know, he's from New Jersey, so obviously he's a big Falcons fan. Just makes sense. Adds up. Yeah, obviously. Just not a big dog guy, so that's why, you know, big Falcons guy kind of adds up back in the day. Oh, no. But I actually wanted to ask you, so obviously, we like, me and Adam are not ingrained in Falcons culture or anything, right? Like, mm-hmm. the world was shook by the whole Michael Penix pick. So now that you've had time, as a Falcons fan, now that you've had time to digest the Michael Penix pick, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't shook. They caught me red-handed in my reaction. We were live streaming. I was...
Yeah, saw that.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah. It's crazy because, like, I don't really get worked up over sports very often, but that was one of the very few moments in my career where I was really at a loss for words.
Pissed.
There was no connection leading up to it whatsoever. There had not even been, like, a hint of a rumor that we might look at a quarterback.
There was rumors, like, surrounding it, I think, like, literally right before you guys made a pick. Schefter was like, I think they're thinking about a quarterback here.
Like, yeah, and, like, I hadn't really seen that because we were live streaming and I was whatever. So
I thought you guys should have taken Rome. I thought that would have been the perfect
pick. I would have been really cool at Rome. I would have been cool with Dallas Turner. I would have been cool with Byron Murphy.
Dallas Turner would have been sick, too. Yeah. I thought he was mocked to you guys a bunch.
Basically, every mock had Dallas Turner going there. And I think that was realistically what made the pushback so crazy on the Penix pick was, at first, I was shocked and I didn't understand it because when you look at the Kirk Cousins contract, you hear like 4 for $160, right? And immediately you're like, holy fuck, he's there for the next 4 years.
Like, why are you drafting an older quarterback in Penix when that's the end of his rookie deal?
Yeah, but like most contracts on the surface for the NFL, teams can get out after about 2 years, and that's the case for Kirk. And obviously, he's a little bit of a risk with coming off the Achilles, older. And I think that's what like confounds me a little bit is if we sign Kirk, that means we're going all in for the next 2 years. The drafting of Michael Penix goes the opposite way. Had we not brought in Kirk and then signed Penix, I would have been like, cool. People still would have pushed back because the media around Penix was that he is not a top 10 talent. He's a early second round pick. And I think that's what kind of fucks everybody up. But realistically, the way I look at it and what I was telling you before is this move makes sense if the Atlanta Falcons front office had Penix number 2 on their big board.
Yeah, yeah.
If they said, hey, he is the second best quarterback in this class, he's the second best player in this class, and we're getting him at pick 8 at the most valuable position, that makes sense to me. All the other stuff surrounding it, whether or not Penix is that, I don't know.
Honestly, I feel like I understand you saying that, but like I feel like that's not the case because you saw the GM trying to explain to Art, like, he's like, dude, like, you, I don't know. There was that video. You couldn't hear what they were saying, but he was trying to use his hand motions. Like, no. Like, this that, is that. That, this, like, that he was trying to
hand
explain
hand motions of
pick.
A guilty man, for sure.
Yes. It's like he was trying to explain the pick so bad to the owner because he was just like, what the fuck did you just do?
Right. And I...
Do you think he went rogue with... I feel like the GM might have gone rogue with that pick. Like, he just, dead like, ass.
Last minute put a folder in by himself.
Yeah, I feel like he's straight up like, they're like, all right, so Dallas Turner's the pick, Rome's pick. He's like, yeah, you know, I think we got this.
That
he
doesn't
goes,
make
he goes,
sense.
Panic. Panic.
Like, that doesn't make sense for a pick like that, though, because you're not going to last 3 years if you just went rogue. Like, in order for him to see that come to fruition, he's got to wait 3 more years. So it doesn't make sense to me. I think they
You think the owner would be in the know, though? Like, if you're going to do some crazy pick like that,
franchises operate differently, man, where they're just like, we'll hire you, I'm hands off, you do what you got to do. You obviously have to have a lot of fucking trust in your guys if you're going to let them do that. Yeah, to me, he was number 2 on the big board for them, and they felt like this was the way to solidify their franchise for the next 5-10 years. He's a scary pick.
And that's what you choose to believe because you don't want to have to believe that you guys fumbled it.
Well,
you trying to cope.
If we ever have the number 8, every time we get the number 8 pick, I want to move it. I don't. Yeah, I want to support
my God.
Another funny thing that I thought of, too.
I haven't even thought about that. I don't know why.
Every time we get the number 8 pick, we do some wild shit.
How many times you guys got the number 8 pick the last 5 years? Like 3?
Yeah.
That's insane.
3, and then our time we had the number 4, we took Pitts. So we're not getting any better the further we move
up
in
the draft.
No, that's
still 8 is double 4, so like 4 was twice as bad, essentially, right?
Oh, God, don't do that. Drake London, I still feel like, was a good pick out of all of them, but like...
First receiver taken, though.
Yeah, but I still think we need to give him 1 year with a good quarterback to see what he really is.
Yeah, I was talking to Adam, and he was like, dude, like, the Falcons' weapons are crazy. I'm like, they're talented, but they're not like... They haven't proven shit.
I agree. This like, is the pessimistic
London and
fan
Pitts
in me.
Haven't proven shit.
We're so unbelievable. Like, I don't like that now we are like publicly everyone thinks we're really good. That sucks.
Yeah, that's not good because you guys actually haven't proven
it. I've always known we're not good, and now it's like, okay, we add Kirk, and he solves all of our problems. Our defense still sucks. London Pitts still haven't proven anything.
That, dude, that's – I keep telling Adam, he's like, oh, do the Falcons on paper have the best offense in the NFC? I'm like, no, they fucking don't.
No.
It's not even, like, top five.
That's, like, the – that's what, like, fake sharp people keep saying right now. Yeah. And I'm like, it's just not real.
It's the best offense on paper. It's like, well, it's not the best offense.
It's not even close, right? No. And we like, add in – Darnell Mooney needs to be a stud for us in order for us to, like, work.
Darnell Mooney is not a number two receiver. No, that's why I thought you guys should have taken Rome.
Yeah.
Because if you had London – if you had Drake London – Romo Dunze, Darnell Mooney, that's a good trio.
Rome would have been such a meme pick, though, us going with another receiver inside or another offensive weapon inside the top 10.
But if you're going to go offense, like, I guess get another receiver.
So, like, right before the pick was about to happen, I remember, because we were live streaming, we had a couple of people behind the scenes just hanging out, and I saw their faces. Like, they had got the pick leaked to them before the pick went up on the TV.
So they're all looking at you like.
So they were all like, yo, get the phone, get the camera, or whatever. Oh, and I figured, like, because we had been talking about Dallas Turner, Byron Murphy, whatever. I was like, we need D-line help. And I knew by their facial expression that it was going to be an offensive player. Because
they're like, oh my God, get your phone.
Right. So I thought it was Rome. I thought it was just like, okay, they took Rome, or like maybe they jumped up for like even Xavier Worthy would have been like worst case scenario. Never in a million years was I thinking it was Penix. But
oh my God, Xavier Worthy would be tough.
That would have killed me.
That would have been horrible.
That would have killed me. Oh my God. Because they knew I'm not a fan of Worthy.
If you get Fast Boy fucking 8 overall. At least Penix can sling the
light. Right. Like, I think Penix is a really good player. I think there are a lot of red flags around him. But, okay, let me ask you this. If Penix starts
I'm in a big year, Penix guy.
In year three.
Yeah.
He's 26 years old?
Yeah.
Okay, 26 years old. He starts.
That's crazy.
And he has a Jordan Love type year.
Yeah.
In his first year.
But then he's 29, right? That year he'd be 29?
No, I'm saying in year three, right now, right? Like, Kirk is out after 2 years. Penix gets that start.
So
that
first year, he'll be 26 years old.
He'll be 26.
Yeah.
He has, I don't even know, Jordan Love year might be even unrealistic for that. But he has like a borderline Jordan Love year where you're like, okay, not like superstar breakout, but like he's the future.
Yeah.
Is that a bad pick now?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
So like, that's you found your guy. Like,
that's how I think the Falcons are looking at it. They're so confident in Penix right now.
40-year-old Kirk, right? So it's like, there's a lot to be said about a younger quarterback, even though he's an older rookie coming out. He's still 24.
Right.
Him to have a couple years to learn under Kirk Cousins, who's, in my opinion, like probably one of the most slept on quarterbacks the last decade.
And he's smart as shit, too. He'll be able to help
Penix. Super fucking smart. So he's going to help Penix. Like, the one thing with Penix is he made some stupid fucking decisions. That was like his big downfall. But now if he can learn to play smart under Kirk, you guys could actually have a dog.
That's what I mean. Like, if he just
arm talents.
If he goes out and is just a good player, then people are going to look back and be like, okay, we understand the draft pick. It's really easy to hate on it now, though.
I would say the draft pick, it doesn't fucking matter where you picked him or how, like, who it is. And if they play
you
well,
never look
it doesn't
back like
matter.
That. Yeah. If they're like, a good player, it's like, cool. That was a good pick.
Like, dude, the Jordan Love pick, everyone was shitting on it forever. And now it's like, now everyone's like, wow, he could be MVP next year. Like, I think it's crazy.
And I think that one probably deservedly so had a little bit more strife to it because Rodgers was still like in his prime.
MVP.
And also, went back-to-back MVPs, and then like we're going to extend them.
The back-to-back MVPs were right after they drafted Love, too, right?
Which so it was crazy. Like, that's the crazy part about the situation. Yeah. Like, Kirk, I'm just hoping he fucking is able to stay upright the entire year.
Yeah, I think it was also like on like some kind of a safety blanket for Kirk, too, where it's like, you have an older – is he 39?
No, he's not there yet.
38?
He's 36, I think, maybe.
Oh, I thought he was way older.
I'll look it up.
He's an older quarterback in his late 30s that just tore his Achilles. That's hard to come back from. So I feel it's almost like a security blanket.
We've gotten just, like, so spoiled with, one, older QBs, two, guys coming back from injury quick that now I feel like we look at both of those and we only think about the upside scenario in both situations. And it's like, it doesn't always work out like that.
All right. I want to do
Kirk's 35.
35. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, by then you could still have him for four, I guess, but 39 is too old for a quarterback.
Like, sure.
Really perform. Yeah. All right. What I want to do with you, too, is obviously the NFL schedules came out on Wednesday. I want to do the Falcons schedule prediction, their record prediction with you as a diehard Falcons fan.
Okay.
You can be biased or not, whatever the fuck you want to do. I'm going to go through the schedule. You tell me win or loss.
Okay.
All right. Steelers at Falcons.
Dub.
Week one, easy dub.
Arthur Smith revenge game.
Oh my God.
Let's fuck his day up.
Yeah. Wait, I like that. I like that. But that actually, no, that's not good for you guys. Arthur Smith
I think we want to bury him.
Yeah.
I think after the pain he's caused us,
yeah.
He'll be equally riled up as we will.
That's it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, all right. Dub. Week two, at Eagles.
I'll hold an L there.
Okay, yeah, 1-1. Then you go back and host the Chiefs. went to.
Dub. Upset.
Dub?
Upset. Let's go.
At Mercedes. 2-1. Let's 2-1 Falcons. Then you host the Saints. Big letdown spot.
I'm going to say L. Because we lose spot. To the Saints. It's just what we do.
It's just what you
We're
do.
We're the Falcons. We lose to the Saints. Yep.
But you beat the Chiefs, obviously. 2-2. The then NFL, you host. Baby. Then you host the Bucks.
Dub.
Dub. 3-2. At the Panthers.
Dub.
4-2. Host the Seahawks.
I actually think they're a sneaky good team. I'm going to say
Seahawks.
L. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not a big Seahawks guy.
L.
So you're 4-3 now after the Seahawks. Then you go to the Bucks.
We're about to make a run, though. I could tell you.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm gonna take an L here on the Bucks at Tampa Bay.
So 4-4.
Mm-hmm.
But this is
let
where
the team build chemistry.
Run.
Let the team build chemistry.
Yeah. You're 4-4.
We're like LeBron in South Beach, man. Just let them cook for a minute.
Let them cook for a little bit. It's gonna take some time. So they're halfway through the season, right? 4-4.
But wait.
But just wait, because what happens when they host the Cowboys on November 3rd?
Fuck.
That's what I was waiting.
This is the storyline of the year. L.
4-5.
Now
All right.
We go.
And then you go to the Saints, who you can never beat.
Dub.
There you go.
We go 1-1.
5-5, baby. Mm-hmm. This isn't looking great. But wait. This part, you have an awesome stretch.
We have
stretch
a great
right
schedule.
Here. Then you go, so you're 5-5.
Yep.
At Denver.
Dub.
6-5. Against the Chargers at home.
Dub.
7-5. At the Vikings.
Dub.
8-5. At the Raiders.
This is where I'm telling you, we cook now.
Dub. 9-5. Hosting the Giants.
Dub.
10-5. At the Commanders.
Dub.
12-5. Oh, no, that's not. 11-5. And then Panthers. Last game of the season, Panthers at home.
Another dub.
12-5. So you guys, you're saying you're going to go, the Falcons go 5-5, rattle off 7 straight.
I'm telling you, that's
Actually insane.
That's like, our schedule is cheeks.
Dude.
It's really fucking easy.
Okay, because you go Broncos, Chargers, Vikings, Raiders, Giants, Commanders, Panthers to end the year.
I mean, like,
that's insane.
Think about, okay, so we get 6 games against our division, which is terrible. And then one of the divisions we play is the AFC West, which outside the Chiefs, terrible.
Ass.
Right.
Yeah.
So we get like 9 games of really soft opponents off the
Dude,
rip.
That's actually crazy.
Right. So I think like what will happen.
Once it was 5-5, I was like, oh man.
No.
Isn't going to be good for you.
I think we'll have a little bit of a tough stretch off the rip because like Kirk is new to the offense. We're getting acquainted to it. And
that's,
everyone's going to be like,
the 4-4, 5-5.
Panics. And then Kirk's going to be like, not so fast. And then go on a fucking absolute killing spree.
And then you probably lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Probably.
Yeah. But 12-5.
12-5.
Maybe 2-seed?
I'm in there.
Potential 2-seed.
We in there.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
That's what I'm saying. All right. Last thing I want to do, because I don't want to make this too long, because I know you got, you know, hot date tonight.
Summer sign.
Have you decided?
Yeah. Hotel. Of course.
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
Venezuela. Shout out.
There's never a choice.
Can you name one Venezuelan baseball player ever?
Carlos Delgado.
Is he Venezuelan?
No idea.
Yeah.
No idea. Feels Cuban.
I know. Salvador Perez. Jose Altuve.
Ooh, yeah. Jose, okay.
All right.
That's
Last game I wanted to play with you. So it's almost like 2024 fantasy football superlatives, right?
Okay.
I want you to make a team of players for each category. So it'll be like just one guy from each position, like a quarterback, a running back, a receiver, and a tight end.
Okay.
So first category is going to be MVPs of fantasy football 2024. And you can make a whole fantasy team if you want to do two running back, receiver, flexes, or you can just do one guy at each position, whatever you want to do.
I'm going to pull up a list real quick.
Yeah. Because so Nick is a fantasy football expert.
Chill.
He would say.
Chill.
Expert, a liaison. That's not the word for it. Liaison totally doesn't mean that.
What does it even mean?
Liaison's like.
Is that just like a consultant?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I actually have no clue. I just wanted to
You were
to say
hoping
a
I
word.
Pulled up with the right answer.
Yeah, I was really hoping you had that. Stuff. You're older. You're more wise.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's also a lot more years to be dumber.
That's also fair. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So the most valuable fantasy football players at this position for 2024, obviously. Quarterback. Okay. Let's go quarterback.
Yeah. Let's go QB. I'm gonna go a little bit based off of like a little bit based off of value, just because like if you draft a guy in the second, third round, it's not really
you're
expecting him to go bonkers.
Yeah, yeah. Like this is a guy that's most valuable for his like.
Yeah.
The position he was drafted.
I'm going to say Dak keeps the stat train rolling a little bit.
I like that.
Because, I mean, he went nuts last year, and all they have in the backfield now is Zeke and Rico Dowdle.
He's
going
to
have to throw
for a billion yards.
Right. So I think his numbers will be super fucking inflated. At the running back position,
it's it's obviously like CMC.
Yeah, CMC like, is like the easy answer, assuming he's kind of out of the picture.
Let's say most valuable running back not named Christian McCaffrey.
This has got to be the Bijan year.
It has to be.
Second year in the league.
With no Arthur Smith.
Yeah, no Arthur Smith. I think they're going to use him the same way that like Gurley was used in L.A. a bunch of years back. So if it's not Bijan this year, when? You know what I mean?
If it's not Bijan this year, he's a bust.
Facts.
Let's just be like, oh my God, I had Bijan last year
too. A top 10 running back that doesn't break out within the first 2 years, I don't care what he does after that. Like those are his prime.
Those are your years. Yeah, like you have to be a dog in those years.
So I'll go Bijan with the two, the running back. At wide receiver, I think Garrett Wilson could do some dirty things this year.
If Aaron Rodgers is healthy.
I mean, the dude has.
You think he could be the best receiver in fantasy football this year? Or you're saying for the position he's getting drafted?
I think he could. Yeah.
Do you think legitimately number one over like a Tyreek, Jettas?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think he's got the talent to do it. I think we could see like a prime Stephon Diggs, Odell Beckham type year out of Garrett Wilson.
I can see that.
And like maybe he's not as good as Jefferson or Tyreek Hill, but like they have a little bit of a down year and he has his big year. I mean, he had 170 targets last year. This year, he has Aaron Rodgers throwing the fucking ball.
He has so much talent, dude. It's like he's one of those guys where it's like, you can tell it's there, whatever he has. He's got it.
Right. But you watch him, he jumps off the film.
Yeah, and you're just like, fuck, man, if he had someone that was actually competent.
I'm really excited to watch him play this year. So Garrett Wilson's my wide receiver of choice. Tight end, Trey McBride. Fucking
I love that.
Dog. Dude, absolute.
Him and like the fact they got Marvin Harrison to take some like actually attention off of him is huge.
McBride and Kyler last year, like the chemistry they had. Kyler like didn't look at a single other receiver every time it was McBride. I'm like, brother,
dude, he's McBride carry me to a fantasy championship last year or appearance.
Same. Yeah. Not chip, but appearance.
We like a nice appearance.
Yeah. McBride was the appearance guy.
Yeah, you're not going to get over the hump with the appearance guy.
Yeah. Bring it home this year, McBride. Yeah, so he would be – he's my, without a doubt, favorite tight end.
Yeah, this is like – you think he's going to be tight end one?
Yeah.
Over Kelsey. Kelsey's done.
McBride's my one.
Wow.
Yeah.
So him. If you're drafting right now, you're waiting till
waiting.
Round four or five,
getting McBride every time.
Holy shit. So because everyone's going to draft Kelsey. Dude, McBride, too.
McBride, Kelsey's fallen a little bit down. People have seen like the,
2-3?
Yeah, he probably even later than that, to be honest. Really? I don't know. Laporta's like the one, I think.
That's crazy to me.
I agree. I think it's a little bit too much of the hype right now from the
youth. He was good last year, but he wasn't like amazing last year.
He was like the one. He was the tight end one last year.
Overall. Oh, he was overall.
He was really good, yeah.
Dude, I thought for some reason it was still Kelsey.
10 touchdowns, yeah.
He was sick.
But, like, I'd wait 2-3 rounds and grab McBride, Mark Andrews even. Like, any of those guys would be fine.
Kittle.
Laporta's a little too spicy for me.
I think it's because he was a rookie last year, so he's probably there like, oh, sophomore jump, sophomore lead.
Yeah.
All right, next category for fantasy football superlatives for 2024. I want to know your team of the most disappointing players in fantasy for 2024. Quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end.
Okay, I'm going to go a little bit hot here with Josh Allen in Buffalo.
I'm with that.
Dude, you take his weapons away? What is
dude, he? Gabe Davis left too, his top two weapons.
Gabe Davis, gone. Stephon Diggs.
And now what's he got? Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman.
Just James Cook's cool. But
big year for Dalton Kincaid, by the way.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That would have probably been my other answer. Love Kincaid.
Dude,
let's get Kincaid with it for sure. Great fucking pick.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Allen, he'll be great, obviously, but like, what was he before Diggs?
Dude, nothing. Good. I keep telling people that. They're like, because I'm really low on the Bills this year. I think they like losing Diggs and Gabe Davis in the same offseason is not good.
Yeah.
And their defense last year is kind of banged up. Poyer left.
Like, and they got rid of everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like Tremaine Edmonds left the year before. So I'm like, dude, who do you guys have left? Yeah, like Matt Milano and a bag of chips. Like, that's it. I don't know. I feel like Allen's due for like a bad year. Not a bad year, but a huge down.
But if you're drafting him as like QB1 or 2, I think you're probably going to be disappointed.
I don't even know if he's going to be like top 5 quarterbacks this year.
Okay, let's see. Running backs.
I think Derrick Henry's going to have a down year.
Really? I kind of like him in Baltimore.
Dude, no more Greg Roman.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I don't know, for some reason that
they lost a bunch of O-linemen too. Like, I could see it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is it feels about like Derrick Henry. Like, Tennessee wouldn't have let him left. They had this whole plan this offseason to get better and get more offensive weapons. They would not have let Derrick Henry left if they really believed in him. I don't know. It feels weird.
I think they were just moving away from that identity altogether.
Makes sense. Like, get the Vrabel, run it down your throat, smash mouse out of it.
I'll go with Rashad White. He's not as spicy of a name. He finished last year as the RB4 overall.
Was he 4?
He caught so many passes. But, he's been a bad runner. He's not a good runner of the football.
Feels like a Damian Pierce type of thing, right?
Right. And he's a good athlete, and they use him in such high volume last year. But they brought in Bucky Irving, who I don't love, out of Oregon, like small guy, but great playmaker. And he's going to take a bunch of the pass catching away, yeah. I think, in that backfield. So who is Rashad White without a lot of volume? I think, well, not, I shouldn't say without a lot of volume, but with less volume, we'll find out, I think. So I'm not, yeah. I'm not really like in the long game for guys who I don't think are great runners.
Yeah, he was just like a fill-in rookie.
Right.
Like, yeah. He was solid, though.
He was, I mean, I think his rookie year was 2 years ago. Then he had his breakout year last year. But, like, most of it, he was, like, 3.8 yards per carry. Just, like, they're just shoving the ball into his fucking
mediocre
stomach.
Mediocre shit, yeah.
Yeah, some fucking mid stuff.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, shoving balls in his stomach. Oh, tight end. Crazy. Who we got? Receiver.
Okay.
Most disappointing wide receiver, 2024.
Yeah, CD's going to smash. Tyree's going to smash. Amon-Ra's going to go crazy. Let's go with Diggs. Diggs out in Houston.
Really?
Don't love him anymore. I think
I'm not like super high on Diggs anymore because that last year like wasn't anything special. I think
people are going to try to recapture and be like, nah, new situation. Like the elite Diggs is back. But Nico's like, that guy.
Nico, dude, Tank is a motherfucker too.
Nico and Tank are there. I think Diggs will be cool, but I don't think he's the same separator. I don't think he's the same like.
Do you think Diggs is more like almost their slot guy now?
I could totally see that.
Like,
I think it'd be cool there, though.
I was trying. Yeah. Oh no, I think that team's gonna be awesome in general. It's gonna be fun as hell. But I'm like, I was thinking about it in general, just as a football fan. Like, how the fuck is how those three receivers gonna coexist? Obviously, Nico's the big jump ball, go get a guy, right? And then Diggs is big route runner. Tank's, I guess, more of like route runner, fast guys. But I'm like, I feel like
Tank
he's more
and Nico
of
are both downfield.
I'd say
guys.
Tank's more of a downfield guy
Diggs,
than Diggs.
Diggs doesn't really have that game anymore.
Like is he just the fucking H like slot guy?
He's like he's gonna be like Keenan Allen now, but just now he's
like
but
Slice Boy.
Now he's competing with two guys that are also awesome.
Yeah,
you know, like Nico's a better version of Mike Williams, and the Chargers never had a Tank Dell type of guy that could take 100 targets and be really productive with it. So I think Diggs will be – I think people will take him at like the 2-3 turn, be like CJ Stroud, Diggs, and I think he's going to disappoint.
I've been telling people all offseason. I'm like, dude, I think Tank is probably actually my favorite value pick, I guess, on the Titans. Like Tank was doing just as good or better than Nico when he was
Titans,
healthy.
Titans, that's crazy.
Titans, Texans, Jesus, whatever. AFC South. I'm tired, man. It's been a long day. And that tight end, most disappointing tight end.
Okay, most disappointing tight end, I will say – I really got no problems with the top. I guess we'll go back to Laporta because he's getting drafted so fucking early.
Is he like second, like early second type of deal?
Not early second, but he's at the 2-3 turn.
Okay.
Like if you want to, like
that's insane.
Like the 3-1 is where you have to pretty much grab him. And I'm like, man, I get that.
That's not worth it.
He might even be the best tight end in fantasy next year, but I don't see like the gap between him and the dude you get in the 4th, 5th, 6th being big enough that I need to use that up there.
Dude, yeah, I feel like there's probably like 5 or 6 tight ends you can get that are all like very serviceable and it's fine.
With all like, within the first 5-6 rounds. So like I'm cool with that. So I feel like Laporta, I don't know if you'll be disappointed with the pick, but like relative to what you could have got there instead, like you probably get Garrett Wilson at that turn because people are disappointed. Yeah, instead.
Which who'd rather have Laporta or Garrett Wilson?
Of course,
like, it's not even close.
Of course, it's Laporta.
Yeah, it's obviously Laporta. Like,
what are we talking about?
Good old Midwest boy, Sam Laporta.
Yeah,
dude. So, when I saw he like went to Iowa, I was like, that was the. He just sounds like an Iowa dude.
Like, every tight end sounds like it.
Yeah, Sam Laporta. Laporta. Like, he sounds like a good Midwest boy. Loves some cheese curds. All right, we always end this with everybody. Every single guest we have on, I want you to give me off the dome Nick Ercolano's top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Damn, I think we did this last time too.
I know, but I don't know if it's changed.
Okay.
Because we didn't have you on before like postseason or like anything like that started, I feel like.
No, we had, I think, preseason going into the year. And yeah. I remember being high on Dak and Tua and everyone. I got a lot of shit for that outside of Felipe and sure. Adam because Tua and whatever.
So from me, you got a lot 100%, of shit. 100%.
Yeah. Okay, so top 10 QBs.
Tua,
in
by
the
way,
NFL,
I'm so out on Tua.
Now,
yeah,
I mean, yeah.
Now whatever. I was in on Tua before. Now I'm not.
Whatever.
So top 10 quarterbacks off the dome. I mean, who's the one?
Okay, so we'll go Mahomes.
Brock. What? Yeah, Mahomes. Top Brock, not one.
That's crazy. I'm still gonna go Allen at 2.
Still?
Yeah, I think
you're gonna go Lamar as 2 MVPs.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
What's the criteria? Like, dude, who I think would win a Super Bowl this year? All things
dude,
equal.
It's just your top 10 list. Okay. However the fuck you want to criteria.
Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar. I will go.
I feel like that's almost a consensus top 3-ish. I would have Josh Allen lower, but that's
I'm going to go with Stroud at 4.
Already?
Yeah.
Dude, after 1 year?
I'm ready.
I mean, he's sick. I love CJ Stroud. At 4? Yeah. Over Joe Burrow already.
Yeah. Burrow? Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Why?
He's just a dude that you watch and you have no questions about whether or not he's legit.
Yeah, he's it jumps off the board. Like, he's just sick.
It jumps off the screen. I just feel like with a lot of guys, it almost feels like you're always trying to convince yourself that he's good.
That's what I have to do with Tua. Like, I feel like I have to convince, like, when I'm watching Tua, I'm like, yeah, he's good. Like, look, that throw is good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But you never really feel that sense of security, and I feel that with Stroud.
Dude, you know what it is? Like, and this is just me being biased. I'm going to bring up Brock. But, like, the way that I've, like, really classified it is, like, you can tell when a guy's got it because my whole life, when I see Jimmy G or Alex Smith, whatever, when they throw a ball and the ball goes off the screen, are you scared or excited? Yeah, that's the only fact. Like, those two guys, Alex Smith and Jimmy G, I'm fucking terrified.
Purdy,
when Brock does it, I'm like pumped.
Okay.
So, like, I think that's like a CJ Stroud. Like, when you have a young quarterback, if A Rich does that, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yes.
What's going to happen? CJ Stroud does it, you're like, oh my God, Nico's down there, bro.
100%. That's a great way to put it.
Like, I don't know what it is. It's like that feeling you get when you just like, yeah, fuck yes. Or you're like, like, I don't know what it is about that.
Yeah. So I will go with Stroud at 4. I'll go with Burrow at 5.
Yep.
Brock Purdy's still available. I'm trying to think of who I don't want to forget before I get to
Brock Purdy.
Okay, so there's a tier of like.
I mean, he's already fallen pretty drastically down the board ever since you picked Mahomes at 1.
Dak, Hurts,
Herbert, Justin Fields.
Enough.
Desmond Ridder.
I will go with, don't make me say Kirk right now.
You can make me say
Kirk at 6 and Penix at 7. I'm going to go with Dak.
Okay.
Dak at 6.
Severely like just slept on, I feel like, in general, because he's on the Cowboys. If he wasn't on the Cowboys.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that like every single thing he does sways the public opinion about him.
Yeah.
If he's good, he's great. If he's bad, he's terrible.
If he gets a fucking tattoo on his leg, you know.
He's a thug.
Yeah, it's that. He gets put down, though, for 14 hours where they tattoo his entire leg. Oh, pussy.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have your entire leg tattooed for 14 hours? Yeah. I would go down immediately.
In fact, you can kill me, honestly.
Yeah, what the fuck? Hell no.
Okay, so we got Dak at 6.
I feel like if Dak was on any other team, though, he'd be a consensus top five quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, everyone always gives him shit about, like, oh, we can't get it done in the playoffs. Like, no one says that about Justin Herbert, by the way.
I'm about to. So I'm
Fuck
keep
yeah.
Falling.
I'm not a Herbert guy.
I'm going to go Stafford at 7.
See, I love that. I'm a big Stafford guy.
It's hard not to be, dude.
He's been healthy,
electric.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. His arm's fucking unparalleled.
Unbelievable.
I'll go Stafford at 7. I will go.
You can.
I got to put her. I think I'll put Herbert at 8 here.
Okay.
I'll put Herbert at 8 only because I can't really think of other guys right now.
You can pull up like a list of NFL teams if you need to.
No, you said off the dome. I have to.
It is off the dome, but
I have to do it.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see who you miss. This is going to be hilarious. There's going to be one like glaring that we forgot about.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's go.
Hurts, Brock. Fucking, I don't know. Deshaun. No, that's not happening.
I'm going to go Hurts at 9.
Hurts at 9? See, I think he was a bit of a Shane Steichen merchant.
Okay, so we did trivia TikToks where everybody did their top 15 QBs.
Yeah.
And basically, we just had to guess on the board. We're like, all right, JMO, I think your number fucking 3 is Herbert or whatever.
Yeah, I would say his is probably 2 Herbert.
Like, Herbert was up there at like 3 or 4, I think.
That's crazy.
But Hertz was like 12 to 15 on everybody's board.
See, I think that's pretty fair.
I'm actually with number 10. Number 10. Rodgers probably deserves to be here, but like I still need to see it.
I would say like I have left the Jets and Rodgers off all my rankings lately because we actually have no fucking clue how they work together.
Right. I need to see it, I think.
And he's coming off the Achilles. I'm like, dude, I got no idea.
I'm gonna go with Kyler Murray at 10.
Over Brock?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Kyler's a savage, brother.
Dude. That's crazy.
Kyler,
you're hanging on to that one year where he was in the MVP race for 8 games like 2 or 3 years ago.
Brother, Kyler was great for like his first multiple years he was in the league. And then he got the contract for a reason.
He did get that contract for a reason.
Kyler was one of the most electric athletes, playmakers I've ever seen. Like going back to, I remember watching him in high school, being enamored with him, seeing him in college, putting an early Heisman bet on him, hitting that. And I'm like, this is just my guy.
I mean, he's electric as fuck to watch. I just feel like there's something about him. He just doesn't have like that it. You know what I mean?
He definitely has the it, but he does have that like when he throws it up or starts getting crazy, you get scared. A little bit worried.
Yeah, you're a little
But I do think this year will
with Marv.
This year with Marvin McBride and like a
Michael Wilson's not a terrible dude.
Love Michael Wilson.
I'm a big Michael Wilson guy.
I loved him last
year. You're a big
year.
Michael Wilson guy?
Stanford, yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
He was like one of my favorite players.
Dude.
Love Mikey Dubs.
Dude, I just grew up a Stanford fan, so I knew about him. That's hilarious. I'm like, no one knew who he was.
Yeah, I remember watching film of Michael Wilson going against Christian Gonzalez last year, and I was like, yo, Michael Wilson's like kind of good.
He's kind of owning Christian
Gonzalez. Kind of fucking good.
Christian Gonzalez is awesome, but, by the way. He's going to be
awesome,
sick this
stud,
year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, give me Kyler at 10, I think.
Well, all right, so I'm just super curious.
Where would
Brock, if you had to just like put him?
He's probably in that tier from like now until 15-ish, I would say, because there's... 15. I mean, dude, there's the Jordan Loves, the Tuas, the Brock.
I'm glad
Curry's,
you didn't
like,
put Jordan Love in the top 10 yet, by the way.
It's kind of crazy that I put Stroud there, but like Jordan Love actually outproduced him in pretty much every category and led nuts. Probably a... not worst team, I shouldn't say that, but...
Similar talent.
Equal weapons.
Teams. Yeah, yeah, I would say.
Yeah, so...
You
I feel like that's a little weird going off that
I think
criteria.
It's
but
Love makes he just makes more stupid mistakes. I feel like than Stroud.
He's
Stroud
not
just
sound.
Doesn't turn the ball over,
right?
Like, which is sick. But like
that feels
know.
Like a good predictor of like, being like an elite QB. Eventually.
Yeah, you're just hold on to the ball. Like, there's something about Jordan Love. Like last year, obviously he produced like crazy, but like the first third of the year, he wasn't very good.
He was really good really early on, then had like a
huge
fall off, and everyone's like, he's cooked.
And yeah, then and then he came back again. And was sick.
Right. So I think we need to see another year for sure to be super bought in, but like he's right there on that cusp.
If he's 4,000 plus yards again with 30 some touchdowns, yeah, he's top.
He's in there for
six
sure.
Six quarterback, probably. Yeah.
And I even think like you can start getting down to that tier where like I am looking at Kirk Cousins there. I am looking at
Jared Goff,
exactly. Like those are all guys that I think you can argue in that same tier.
Yeah. Okay. Jared Goff, Baker, Brock, rank the three.
Brock, Goff, Baker.
Good. Smart man. Hell yeah. All right. That's going to do it. Nick, appreciate you coming. Have fun in Miami while you're here, brother. Good luck tonight. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. I'll be trying my best.
Thanks. Tell them where they can find you and BDG, by the way.
Yeah, BDG, Big Dog's Gotta Eat. If you search that, we're on all platforms under that.
So. BDG. And then your personal, too. Plug yourself.
Yeah, I don't make too much content on my personal stuff, but it'd just be my name.
Well, he's handsome, so you just follow him.
Nick Ecolano.
Ecolano, yeah.
Nick Ecolano. If you want to put an R in there, that'd be appreciated.
Yeah,
too.
Thank you, Nick Ecolano. Appreciate it. All right, we'll see y'all next time.
Bye.